You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. Now, this is the show where we kind of focus on the local issues. A lot going on in the world, in the country, in the state. And here on Lean Local, we spend the next hour talking about things that are local. Today, I've been trying to get this guy forever. We have an in-house guest who checks all the boxes. What's going on in worldwide, state, the country, and here locally in District 8. And that's our newly elected congressman, Congressman Tony Weed. I'm glad. Thanks for coming in. You're a busy guy. I've been reading about you.
Well, thank you, Mayor Schmidt. It is an honor to be here.
It's great.
I mean that. I've been in here twice. Yeah. We've had two sit-downs, and right. I've enjoyed each of those. And I think it's important, and it's a great opportunity for me to get, you know, my message out, people to hear from me. Right. It's a big district, 11 counties. So this week I happen to be in district. And 1 week a month, I'm here. Fortunately, I get to be here for the whole week. So just getting out and about and seeing people and hearing what's going on.
So 1 week a month you're here. The other 3 weeks in the month, you're with, what should I call them? No, I'm just kidding. You're in D.C. with 434 egomaniacs.
I think you wanted to say swamp creatures?
I don't want to say that. Okay. No, I just characters. Is that fair? Characters. That's what I'm going to say. So I was putting some notes together for this interview, and I'm thinking, well, how can I start? I want to give him some comfort. But so we vine Greenland? No, I'm just kidding. We have to get to that.
Vine Greenland.
Your president. He's our president. He's bold in what he thinks. Panama Canal. Greenland. He just thinks big, thinks bold, but we're going to drill down a little bit. I know he's kicked that around, and actually that's not the worst idea.
Well, one thing
it's not
I would
the Louisiana
say,
purchase, but it's...
To bring that together, when you talk about these statements, and, you know, President Trump is who he is, and, you know, he wrote a book, Art of the Deal. He comes from a background of being in real estate in New York City, and, you know, he's been very successful in business, and you know what it is, being a business owner is a very difficult thing to do.
Yep.
It's definitely to do it for a long time like he did. But the way he operates, and right now in our country and in this world, just the way he operates is he'll make those statements, but that's kind of the start of the interaction and sort of like the negotiation. So it's a way to say, hey, look, he makes the statement, whether it's with the Panama Canal, whether it's with Greenland, and some of these other things, but it's a way to get the conversation going, get people to the table in order to do what's really right for our country. And that's what he's focused on, is what's right for this country.
I was talking to my brother about this, and like we're talking about the Gaza Strip, you know, let's take it over, let's turn it into the Riviera. And he said the same thing you just did. He's like, it just knocks us out of our traditional thinking and just makes you think different. Probably not going to happen, but it does get people saying, wait a minute, let's take some interest in this. So, you know, people can say what they want about him. I do like people who think bold. I just do. And some of the stuff comes to fruition. Other times it gets you thinking and you find something that's a little bit more of a compromise.
And really, clearly, if you're talking about the Middle East, for instance, what we've been doing, what everyone's right. been doing is not working. Right. We have a serious problem. These are issues, you know, if you look at the Middle East, these could turn into regional wars. These could turn into world wars very, very quickly. This is serious stuff. So now you have a president who's very strong, a good leader, and, you know, making those statements like that. Again, like you said, it gets you out of the box, brings people to the table. And look, we all need to be serious about what's going on. We need to come to use diplomacy here and find some resolutions.
It's got to be fun to go to Congress. I want to ask you personally how you're doing with the transition, because you're an Appleton District 8 guy. I mean, you spent a lot of time here. You had gas stations here. Your kids went to school. You went to St. Norbert. And all of a sudden, you're kind of not home as much. So I want to just talk about how you're being treated out there. And the reason I want to ask you that, I was talking this morning on a different show that I'm on. I'm hoping they're treating you like an equal. Because you know how some of these government guys, oh, you're a freshman or you're the new guy. I hope they're giving you the respect you deserve. Because I mean, we picked you out of a pretty good pool of candidates, quite honestly. I mean, I'm glad you won. I think you're going to be great. How is it out there with those? I've been out there to witness it, and I've met a few congressmen. I've been out there to visit and, you know, on bended knee to get some money for Green Bay. But how are you doing?
Well, different for me. I've never really left this area. I've never left Brown County for more than really 13 days, I think was the most I've ever left Brown County in my entire life. And, you know, I've always lived here. I went to school here, public and private schools. I went to St. Norbert.
Right.
And, you know, we had a business that we were, my wife and I were married, and then we had a business we were married to, right, and being in retail. So here I am in this situation now where I was gone for the month of January. Yeah. There's all, you know, it's a very busy time. So there is that change and, you know, learning how to adjust to that. We've got a very small little apartment that's walking distance from our office that my, you know, Angela and I live at when we're there. And so there is a big change. So you have to get adjusted to that. As far as, you know, others in Congress, I mean, it's a very respectful group, you know, for the most part, but it's no different than any group. It's 435 members. You've got, you know, almost half are on the Democratic side, and then you have half on the Republican side. And, you know, it's you just get to know people. And for me, it's always been about building trust, building relationships with people, because I think that's what matters. That's what lasts the longest, and that's the right thing to do. So, you know, some people are more eager to do that. Some aren't. But I think there's a high level of respect there. And, you know, I'm coming from the business sector.
Right.
I'm not a career politician.
Right.
And there's others that are from that lane too. So I tend to kind of gravitate to those that have already kind of done their own private sector jobs. So,
and you had a pretty good endorsement.
Yeah, a great endorsement from somebody that also came from the private sector.
Right.
And, you know, really is in really going to be in office for 8 years total. And it's not a career for President Trump. And I think he's done a really good job, certainly in these 30 days. There's no question.
But
he's getting a lot done.
Okay. I'll take away from that. I'm glad. So you're being welcomed. They're treating you like an equal. I mean, I'm talking about the Republican Party because I understand that there's a difference there. I'm glad to hear that because okay. How is your wife doing out there? Do they have this support group for people married to people like you?
they need it, right?
Yeah, they do.
She's doing well. It comes out often, most of the time, and there's the, you know, spouses network, and they get together, and they're doing, you know, there's different volunteer opportunities and things like
that's
that.
That's awesome.
So it's definitely a good network of, you know, support that nobody knows what it's like except for spouses,
right.
And there's you know, there's male spouses too,
right,
that are part of the group, and they all get together and have fun, and,
right,
and also again, there's always. Always something going on with that group.
And what a great city, though, right? Yeah, I mean, it's just
it's
monuments, the sidewalks are nice and wide. The people are, I always found them very, very friendly.
It's a very, very nice city, especially around Capitol Hill.
Right.
It's just, I mean, it's safe. It's
right.
It's very nice. There's neighborhoods. I'm learning about the neighborhoods. There's Navy Yard. There's the wharf, which is down by the river. There's the financial district downtown.
Right.
And, you know, Capitol Hill area is beautiful.
Good for you. I'm glad you're getting adjusted because I've heard of people that didn't like it. You know, they just didn't have a good entry. Maybe that was they're in a different party or something. But I'm glad.
Well, you do have to work at it.
Yeah, you do.
And you have to put yourself out there. It'd be like transferring schools as a sophomore in high school.
Totally.
You know, you'd have to get out and meet people. It's on you to do that. And I mean, I prefer to be home. I definitely go out as late as possible and I get home as quickly as possible the weeks that I'm there, which is usually Monday through Thursday.
Sometimes in Congress, and I've been following this for, I was talking to my wife about, I've been in this for, I've taken an interest in Congress for a lot of Congress people. And we've gone, some Democrats, some Republicans, and as mayor, you know, it didn't make any difference to me. I just, whoever was in office that could get us some resources was fine with me. But, you know, you being in the party of, I don't say the party of power, I don't like that word, but the party of strength right now, okay, can we say that? And it's bold thinking. I really want to spend some time, you know, we're going to go to break, but I want to really talk about this Department of Government Efficiency. I mean, I wish you guys would have called me. I would have loved, I would have loved to work on that committee because we could use that.
I think there's still time. We could
use that here. How is that going? I mean, that is what you're labeled with this Congress right now is DOGE, I think.
Department of Government Efficiency. So it's mainly being run by President Trump. I mean, at this point, right? You have, and he's brought on folks like Elon Musk to help come in. And I mean, someone that's done this in his businesses, both of them have done that in their businesses. It's going extremely well. Yeah. Right now, it's like an auditing type situation that's at lightning speed. And we're finding all kinds of waste and fraud and abuse. And that's the thing that we need to cut out of our budget. And there's nobody that can do it better than President Trump, or has done it better than President Trump.
And I think, you know, I saw, you know, the early buyout, 6 months or something, so you can leave now. And those people, I'm assuming, is like, look, I'm going to be found out, so I'm just going to take the money and go now. Because there is, I don't think that they feel like they're a waste. But when you look at it from a pretty stern business standpoint, it's not the most efficient model, you know? And that's why I think you're seeing people say, you know what? If they really take a good look at this department, I'm big time overhead. You know what I mean? And I think there's a lot of that. I think the fraud thing scares me. Yeah.
To your point, I think you feel better when you're adding a lot of value
right. And
you're producing.
And
certainly I would agree with that. I mean, we are, unfortunately, the largest employer in the world, and we shouldn't be. Our government has over 3 million employees, probably 10, 12, who knows how many million federal contractors work for our government. So you could just imagine. Do we need all of that? And are they better utilized in a different area in our economy right now?
And I'm excited about this whole concept. And there's so many other things I want to talk to you about. But the reason I'm so excited about this is I think you take a business that's been around for, I don't know, KI or just whatever, any business. Sometimes you need someone to come in and kind of just reset things, because you get to start living a lifestyle or a corporate lifestyle or a business, and this is kind of what we do. And you get somebody in from the outside, which would be an Elon Musk. I mean, I don't know how engaged he was in the government, you know, when he was doing all those other things. But see, look, because everybody's like, oh, I'm going to go to government now. You elect me, I'm going to run it like a business. That's hard to do. I mean, it's hard to do, right? Because they've got their systems in place. And I think to blow that up is pretty awesome.
It is. I mean, so to have him come in from this level and do the auditing.
Right.
But as we could get into it further, but, you know, Congress has not done a very good job overseeing the agencies that we have in this country. And that's where the problem lies.
And both parties. I mean, I have a lot of respect for
both parties.
And they just keep building on. And it's like, wait a minute, time out. We're going to take another look at this thing. And the other thing I like about what's going on right now is I like bold thinking, but I also like quick decisions, and you guys are moving
Absolutely.
Pretty quick. So if we're going to get back. I want to talk a little bit more about those, but then there's a whole bunch of other things I want to get to. We got a very special guest in-house, Congressman Tony Weed. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And we are talking with the congressman, newly elected congressman from the 8th District, Congressman Tony Weed. And he is got he's a terrific guy, but a great opportunity. As you know, you know, the Republicans are in control, small control at that, but still. And the parties, I just tell my kids this, Tony, there's no bad people. There's just different approaches, right? Everybody wants low crime, good education, economic development, secure country, right? I mean,
100%.
And it's just, you have an approach and they have an approach, and hopefully there's some compromise.
Yeah, 100%. And you do. And when I'm taking this role like I did in my entire life. Look, I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, right, by the extent of, like, look, you know, where you came from, what you believe in, any of that. We are people. And I think it's important to treat people respectfully, even if they're not treating you respectfully. So I'm taking that approach there. I've got some great friends on the Democrat side, and I want to continue to build strong relationships, certainly within our delegation in Wisconsin. We have Senator Baldwin, and you know, my job is to develop relationships with everybody and work together on issues that are important to our district and to the country. But I think what happens with people is we get into groups, and we kind of get dumbed down by the groupthink.
Oh, man.
And so, like, you end up getting, right now we've got, you know, it's two teams. And I get it. You have to have a team. And, you know, that's part of how the system is right now. But I'm continuing to say, look, I need to do what's right for the country. I'm always going to take a pragmatic approach. I'll work with anybody on situations. I think, Jim, we do, for the most part, everybody wants what's best for the country.
Yeah, me too.
I think personal ambition can get in the way, though, at times, and right. You need to get reelected, and maybe, you know, you may not want to go all the way, all in,
right?
Perhaps. So, which is why I like the fact that we should have outsiders, citizen legislators, people coming from the private sector, doing it for a while, and then get back to where you belong, which is your district. And that's what I'm going to do. I'll do it as long as people want. And I'm going to give it everything I got, but I think you have to tell the truth, and I will always do that.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know, that's not a real magic recipe. I mean, your dad told you, that, your mom told you that. And
but if it's a career, you might, you know.
Right. And I want to talk about that. When you were on here last time, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm a term limits guy. I mean, enacted term limits in the city of Green Bay for 12 years. Now, look, was that the right number? I don't know, but it's 12. You guys gotta probably have something divisible by six. So it's either 12 or 18, I would think, because you're going to want the same for the Senate, which are six-year terms, and Congress, which are two-year terms. And it sounds – Mitch McConnell, who is a Republican and a leader in the party, said that's never going to come to the floor. Well, there's a guy that's way overstayed his welcome. Nice guy, good guy. Everybody loves Kentucky. But it that has to get – that has to boil up to the top. And I'm thinking, what scares me about term limits, you've said it, the president said it, I got other friends that are out there that have said it, but it just seems like now we're being overshadowed. Like, you guys got to multitask, because we're being overshadowed with Goj, and then there's so much going on right now. Is term limits going to work its way through the system? And it's a hell of a system. It's got to work its way through.
I think it would be almost impossible to get that to vote, you know, to get 220 or 225 people to vote in favor of term limits.
Yeah.
I am in favor of it. I think it's important that we have something like that. But, you know, you have to get a lot of people to vote one way.
Exactly.
And really, the system is set up that people are there for a long time. And it doesn't mean they're all necessarily bad. You know, you can have some very effective people that have been there a long time. But I think it is good to freshen it up. I think it's to get back to the way the founding fathers intended, to not have it be a career. I don't think that was ever the intent.
Never.
You couldn't, because you would leave your farm or right. whatever for a little bit and then right. go back home. I think that's a better approach. So, yeah, I think, you know, whether that's 10 years, 12 years, but, to your point, you'd have to be divisible by six.
Right. But, well, maybe we got to make that decision then. You know, maybe we just got to campaign that, look, I can't get term limits through Congress. I can't get term limits through Madison, but we need term limits, and this guy's time is up. I'm still the better candidate, but on the other hand, this guy's time is up for those of you who are on the fence.
Yeah, and I think you have the personal responsibility to do that. Look,
right.
if this, you know, I feel like, look, I'm going to give it everything I've got as long as the people want me to do it. But I think maybe at some point you need to move on to the next thing.
Or,
you know, maybe that is another role, or perhaps that's Senate, or there's other opportunities
right.
within this, you know, within the political arena. But I think it is important to have other people step in. And we've certainly had that in the last three, you know, people that have been here in this Congress. So.
But some of these guys get there and, oh, they can't do it without me. It's like, yeah, let us try. all right. You've only been there for a couple months. It's not a fair question, but you're going to serve as long as we'd like you to. And I just kind of Googled it, but 19 congressmen have gone on to be president. I'm just telling you that.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that right? How many went through Senate or went to governor? Of those 19, that'd be an interesting fact.
Because the road to the president should go through the governor's office, I think. You got to learn to govern.
And
I mean, governing is not easy.
Research.
Okay,
I'll together.
Next time, we'll work with five,
who
6 years.
From Congress,
okay.
At least through governor.
And then we'll study them and we'll get you doing that. So this government efficiency, there's no slowing down on this. I mean, it seems like your district manager was just saying, you know, in 5 hours, it's a week. what at the speed of light you guys are going through. And I was really impressed with the defense secretary that welcomed, because that's a huge, I mean, that's where all your money, that's where all our money's going. And not all of it, but that's a huge, and he welcomes Elon Musk to come in and take a look. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, now that's something you would never have heard. It's definitely, we need to have an audit with accountability on every agency of our government. So I just hear him, Pete Hegseth, say that, I think is great. And it's just important. I mean, our money should be used efficiently. We need to have the strongest military in the world. It is so important for the peace and prosperity of the entire world. And President Trump's foreign policy, I think, is spot on in, you know, providing peace through strength. But we need to our money needs to go farther. And I think that is a very important thing, to have all agencies be audited with accountability. And that's what's going on right now.
Yeah. And how do you defend waste? You know what I mean? Like when I see these people, signs, and look, I don't know. I think we should all be about efficiency, because, you know, we're a gazillion. I told my students last night, and I teach, go up on a board and write $1 trillion. You know, that's a lot of zeros. You know what I mean? Like, I just think people don't know. $1 million. Oh my God, if I had $1 million, well, you know, it's so much money. And I think we've almost lost track of billions, which is, that's a sad state to be in.
Because what is a billion is 1,000 million.
Million, right.
And so then a trillion.
Yeah. We're not doing math, but yeah, so it'd be 1,000 billion. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like you said, a million is a lot of money, but I just look at it as an example of, right now, we're spending $6.8 trillion as a federal government. But look at your home. If you look at, like, I'm going through my bills, you know, at the end of the year, you start doing taxes and things. Just look at some of the things that creeped up. So maybe some costs that creeped up. Some you can't do anything about it, but, you know, maybe it's an internet or your cell phone or things like that. Even if it's $10 more a month, don't you attack that and want to bring that down?
And to say, look, there's some small part of our budget. Well, it's part of the budget, you know, and just pennies make dollars, right?
Pennies make dollars, 100%.
You know? All right, hey, we're going to be back. I got some, I want to talk, that border security, I know you're big into that. Government efficiency, of course, you ran on that. There's a lot more things I want to talk about. And I want to get down to the district, you know, if you have any thoughts for District 8, which you are our representative in D.C. We're going to be right back. This is Jim Schmidt with Lean Local.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Lean Local. Very special guest in-house today, Congressman Tony Weed, who was elected, sworn in, and has been working for us a long time, but is in D.C. the last month or two, and just going through all that's going on in D.C., and I think you read about it, you hear about it, but when you really study it, there is so much they are working on, from government efficiencies to the Gaza Strip to Ukraine, and it just goes on and on. And I just really, we are very fortunate in this district to have someone who is this smart, who comes from the private sector, that likes to get along with people, doesn't have a big ego, that's representing District 8. And I'm so proud of this guy. And it's a lot of work to do. He's just getting started. But we're going to keep tabs on him through Lean Local. And he also has a great newsletter that you should subscribe to, because it keeps you posted on what he's working on. But before we get into these next series of questions, Tony, Alderman, I'm sorry, boy, is that that lowered you a little bit. I mean, to
does it bring you back to the mayor days?
It did. Okay, Congressman, this show is sponsored. We get, you know, the way radio works is you get sponsors, advertisers, same thing. And Nicolet Bank is sponsors Lean Local, and I just want to give them a shout out. They're just good people. We've banked with them. They started in 2002. They have now 57 branches. They do, you know, the residential, they do the commercial. And that's all great, but they really give a lot back to this community. I mean, their name is on and should be on a whole lot of things, from the City Deck, which they supported. They sponsor Fridays on the Fox. so many charitable things that they do, and they're just led by a really good group of local people.
We're very fortunate to have a community bank like Nicolet that is involved in the community and have been, you know, certainly my whole adult life. And it's a well-led organization. Yeah. They're involved in the community. They're very authentic. You know, they're about people first. And it's just great to have good, strong community banks in our neighborhoods. We've got a lot of great banks,
right.
But Nicolet has done it. And they also do a great job too in the agriculture field. I didn't realize how, you know, just getting into this job now and
the whole,
which is great.
You got a whole division dedicated to the agriculture, which is such a huge, huge industry in these parts. But when I talk to other businesses, especially in my previous job was, I think Nicolet's a leader. Like they give X percent of their profits to charity. They do a great job with some of their hiring practices. And I just think it's a very, like you said, Atwell, Daniels, those are good guys.
That's what is a community.
Right.
And having the stakeholders, you know, whether it's Nicolet, I mean, the others that have been so benevolent in this community, Northeast, you've seen it, being a leader in the community. But here in District 8, that's what it takes to have good, strong communities is, you know, the private sector being involved and people being involved.
So let's just, we're talking business now, we're talking great businesses across the street. We're looking at, you know, Schreiber, that's $6 billion. Sales, and of course we have Schneider Associated. We you know, healthcare is just booming here. The economic policies that affect you, and I think a lot of the economic things that happen do happen locally. I mean, right? I mean, we're out recruiting businesses. There's a lot of chatter going on, and I'm really excited about it at the Eastside Industrial Park. I was talking to someone earlier today about that. That could be cool if that comes to fruition, but the way you look at economic development, I mean, you want the country to be very, and we are, but there's a lot of talk on tariffs going around. Do you have any comment? I know you're new, but, you know, Trump wants, what, 25% tariffs on some things and 10% on others. Is that something you can get your arms around, or what do you think about it?
Well, tariffs are, I mean, it's a hot topic right now, and it's certainly something that President Trump's using in his toolbox. But I think we look at tariffs in a way that, you know, if you were sitting in a classroom teaching economics and you were to say just in a linear fashion, do tariffs cause prices to increase or are they a tax? You could certainly make that argument, and I would. We are in a situation right now where we have – it's a very, very difficult time in this world. We have trade that is very – it's confusing. It's difficult, and that's where President Trump is using it, and I like to call it more of a smart tariff, using it as a tool – in situations in order to negotiate free and fair trade, get more jobs back into this country, but ultimately to get to be more on a level playing field. So with those, you know, those talks of, hey, look, you know, I'm going to put 25% on Canada, for instance, it brought Canada to the table. We did some negotiations. President Trump is willing to have discussions at any time with anybody and any leader. And they talked it through. Well, look, they made a deal, a 30-day deal, and they're working through it.
Yeah.
But I think you also look at tariffs looking at more of a reciprocal, right? I mean, many of these folks aren't allowing us to export. You know, our exporting of agriculture to Canada is very difficult.
Yeah.
I think getting us to a fair and even playing field is the whole objective. It's not to raise prices here. It's to allow for our country to prosper, focusing on our country and the trade and the economy. That's the number one goal, and we need to really focus on that.
We do. And that Canadian, I won't talk too much, but when he was going to make them talk about, you know, thinking outside the box, everybody's like, well, Canada, they're nice people up there. We fish up there, you know, and everybody lives close to the border, kind of like a sister company. He's like, let's make them the 51st state. And we got Alaska. Let's go up there. And I'm not sure they fell in love with that statement.
Well,
at the hockey game, they booed us.
Canadians, sure, they're very much like Midwesterners. We're very close. I mean, we're probably related would be my guess. I certainly come from probably through Canada. So nothing against the people there, but we need to get to a free and fair trade. It is competitive. But when President Trump makes those statements, it's his style.
Right.
And everybody has a different style. President Biden had a style. President Obama did. President Clinton. But that is his style in negotiations, in getting together. So it's to make the statement about, let's say, the 51st state, but it's to bring him to the table. Look, we need to talk. We need to have conversations. But remember, President Trump will talk to everybody, including our adversaries, and I think that's important.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking around the world, and I know there's this thought from my colleagues on the other side of that, you can't talk to Russia, for instance. You can't. Well, I don't agree. You need to get the communication going. No different than Reagan had, you know, with Gorbachev, right? Yeah. Or JFK did with Khrushchev. I think it's important to have conversation. Doesn't mean you're going to do what they say, but you have to communicate. President Trump's a good communicator. And so those statements are bringing people to the table. Let's talk. Let's work out some fair deals. And ultimately, let's get back to doing business and winning in this country. And that's what we're going to do.
And I like that approach. I would think, you know, I've met him a couple times, but I would think he's a pretty good judge of people in a pretty short period of time. And when you negotiate with a third party, it's like he said this, it's like, you know what? I want to look this guy in the eye.
No, the leaders have to talk.
Right.
President Trump is the type that he'll ask if there's the gardener is walking around, he'll get his opinion.
That's
or
awesome.
Her opinion. He'll talk to security at the front door, knows their names, knows about their kids, maybe their wife's having an issue, ask some questions about it. He gets everybody's opinion. He loves hearing what people think in different perspectives. Not just, you know, confirming what he thinks. And he may not change his mind, but that is one of the things you'll find with him is he loves to hear from people. And he loves being around people. And I think that's really important to be a good leader.
But that image isn't ubiquitous, you know, in terms of being a grandfather or talking to the gardener. You know what I mean? I think people would say, oh, that's Obama that does that, you know, and yet Trump does that. I think that's true. Like I said, just it's been a few times, but I mean, he was like totally impressed with the city, which any mayor loves to hear that. But then how long it was in office and just he just was very complimentary. You know, I thought this guy like, wait, you know, there was nobody in that room and like took an interest. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
he does. And, you know, I think there is such a, you know, it may be a threat politically. I think there's so much. There's nobody that gets more negative news and more negative, you know, on the news or on the media than President Trump. It is constantly negative. I mean, that's not necessarily what's going on. So I think, he cares about the country. He is all about winning and winning for this country, for everybody in the country. And, you know, just even the economy. Look, we look at inflation right now. Inflation hurts the poor. It's a tax. It hurts the poor. It hurts those on fixed incomes more than anybody. And that's what he wants to drive down is that inflation. That's a killer.
And I like his strategy. And there's, you know, inflation's, you know, there's a lot of factors that go in to the product mix. I think government, you guys have hundreds of products in there. But if you just take some very basic things, you know, housing, utilities, transportation, food, clothing, that kind of stuff. But what I like what he says, it's really, we don't have to lean on those companies. We have to reduce the size of our federal debt.
Look, inflation comes from spending more money at our federal government, more money than we have. Every year we spend about $1.8 trillion more than we have. And how do you get that money?
Right.
You know, where do you get it? Yeah. How would you do it? If you say you were worth $100, And I mean, how would you come up with 150? Well, you'd have to go steal it from somebody. Our government, what it does through the Federal Reserve is it prints money, monetizes our debt, which ultimately is, I call it counterfeiting. And that devalues the dollars that are currently in distribution. And that's what causes inflation. It's as simple as that. Not everybody, you know, they say there's other factors, but ultimately, if you continue to spend what you don't have with the way our monetary system is, and I would add that our dollar isn't even backed on precious metals, which it should have. That's what our founding fathers said it should be.
Yeah.
It's a fiat currency, and it's really printed out of thin air. And that is really what's going to continue to cause the inflation and hurt our country.
And I've been to so many seminars and meetings, and this is, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago. Oh, the debt. But there was no pain with the debt. You know what I mean? Like the Americans, we react, you know, it's like, you know, like anything, right? Pleasure or pain. But they're starting to feel the pain now. And I think that's bringing attention. I'm sorry that's happening right now. I mean, especially for people, lower income people. But
it shouldn't happen. And it is really the problem of everybody that's been, you know, all the stakeholders in our country have let it get to this point. And so it's a very difficult position to be in. And so when we're looking at efficiencies, savings, cutting out waste and abuse and all of those things, it's truly because we have to. Look, we're the most benevolent country ever in the world and will continue to be. But we can't let this drag our country into the ground, or we can't be benevolent ever again.
Yeah. Now, I think you're on the right track. And, you know, like anything, right? I mean, there's a little pain before you get to the other side. You'll be all right.
There always is. I mean, whenever I do it with my personal budget or I did it in my business, it was awful.
Yeah.
But, you know, fortunately, I had my wife was stronger than me in a lot of those areas. And look, we need to do this because otherwise we're not going to have a business anymore.
Right.
Or our personal. Look, we have to get in a budget. We have a budget. We can't spend any more than this.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go broke. And so we have to do that with our government. There is no other option. You did it locally. We do it in a state. We have to do it in the federal government.
And it's and the players are in place to do it. You know, sometimes you go in there with, you want to do something, but you're surrounded not with people who have that same vision. But now you've got a window here of probably 2 years. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. It could get stronger, but it could, you never know. I'm just saying that you have a window right now where there's a lot of energy from the leadership, from both houses, from the people, obviously, when you get, what, 12, however many million votes to one. But it's just like now's the time to strike.
It is, and I don't think people want incremental change right now because we can't. And it requires, you know, that kind of that energy back at the system that is continuing to drive us into the ground. But you're right. The pain comes from the inflation. It comes from the fact that your dollar isn't, things are cost more. And we have to do something about it, and we will. I was meeting with local leaders today just in our community, you know, mayors, town chairmen, and so forth. And I just said, look, do you guys have to have a budget?
Yeah.
And they said, well, yeah, we wish we could print money too. I'm like, no.
That's, we'll shake the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't continue to do it. So I'm very passionate about that. Certainly we need to.
You run on that, you're acting on it, and we're going to be a better country for that. But I was always nonpartisan, but both parties aren't to blame for where we are.
I would agree. I think Congress has done a poor job and has a very low approval rating, and rightly so.
Yeah.
And I feel that's why I'm called to do this job right now. I feel I'm ready, I'm willing, and I'm able. But I was very disenchanted with the way things have been going.
Right.
And that, again, that's both parties. It doesn't matter.
No.
But we need to now. I'm on the team of the Republicans. We need to act, but do it in a compassionate way. But we need to run it. Run the country the way it's supposed to be run.
That's awesome. We're going to take a very quick break here. But when we come back, I want to talk about District 8. You know, some of the ideas you have for District 8, some of the things that I hear about that we could use in District 8. And I understand local government, but, you know, you're connected with the county, the state, and the federal government if you really want to pull something, get things moving in the right direction. So we'll talk about that with our very special in-house guest, Congressman Tony Weed.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wrapping it up here on Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest Congressman Tony Weed, who's in house, and I have more things I want to talk about on the federal level. I still wanted to talk about this cybersecurity technology. I know Ron Johnson is working on that. We touched on economics, but education policy, but we're going to wait. We're going to save that for another time. I want to talk about, you represent the 8th District of Wisconsin, and you one-handedly you had what I think is some tough competition. I mean, I obviously know everybody who you're running against, and I'm glad you won. The district, right? Do you have some things that you're working on? I mean, we went through this litany of things out in D.C., but what about here in Northeast Wisconsin?
Being in Congress, the Congress is the House of the People, or the House of Representatives is better known as the House of the People. So my job is, and that's why there's 2-year terms, you should be connected with your community. And District 8 is, I think, the best district clearly in the country. I love living here. I'll never not live here. And like I said, I've never been away from here for more than like 10 or 12 days in my life. So what I decided to do, when in Congress, you can join committees. And so what I decided to do was just to make sure that I'm advocating and I'm an extension of this district and I'm focused on this district. And so the first thing I did was join agriculture. It was, you know, it's not an easy committee to get on. But I think it's the most important thing for our district as far as committees goes. We are the fourth largest district for dairy producers. We produce cheese, obviously. We're the cheese district, no doubt, for the country. And so I thought it was important to be to advocate for our great, you know, small farmers. I'm very interested in all sizes, right? We've got great groups of small organic farms to, you know, to the larger dairy farms that feed America. These are great people, great local people that run those businesses, and they're all small business owners. We're also the largest paper and pulp district in congressional district in the country. We make paper, obviously. It drives our economy, and I think that's really important to be on, you know, the subcommittees for dairy and also for timber.
Isn't that our slogan? We wipe the world. I mean, we're big. We're big.
Right.
We
make less stuff. It's like, hey, if you I got a bumper sticker in my office that says, if you don't like logging, try using plastic toilet paper. So paper and pulp people were in, and I think that's great. Yeah. You know, the great men and women that work in our amazing
great paper, jobs paper and great industries. Companies too. I mean, the leadership at some of these large paper mills are it's like those guys are, and you know, they're. Everybody's like, oh, you know, this big business is hurting the environment. These guys care more about the environment. I mean, when it comes to fishing and just the protection of the water, they are all in. And all of their employees are big, you know, gamesmen, hunter. I mean, not big game, but they're 100%. Hunting, fishing, outdoors people. So
it is, there's good. There's great people. They care about the environment. They're great employers. And these are people that have, you know, that came in to visit just last week, you know, that are, you know, the hourly side. And just they know the business and they're passionate about it. And thank goodness we have.
And they love it here.
They love it here. This is their area. They want to protect the environment. I'm also involved in transportation and infrastructure. I think that's really important for our district. I think that is really what our federal government should do is the common good. And, you know, whether that's highways, whether that's rail system, aviation, and being really involved in that. But just look at our ports. You know, we have the largest Great Lakes shoreland. You know, people talk about shorelands on the east and west coast. But, you know, I brag and say, hey, look, we have the most shoreline. You know, than all of you in any other congressional district, especially in the Great Lakes. And, you know, meeting with the Port Authority and talking about ways of improving that and maybe using that for transportation, you know, and revitalizing, you know, there's a lot of untapped potential, I think. And maybe I want to be helpful in that as far as getting goods, you know, shipped out from this port. And, you know, so I think being involved in things that matter to this district, that is my priority, is to hear from people. And right now, that's part of what I'm doing is getting out, talking to the stakeholders, getting to know what matters to this district, and I'm going to be an advocate and, again, be an extension of the people here to the federal government.
And those are, I think sometimes people, and I guess we're all guilty of sometimes taking stuff for granted, but we are so fortunate to have the pulp and paper industries we have here. I mean, that employs a ton of people, and then you talk about the cheese, you know, and like I said, we're looking across the street at a company that, and then Belgios, and there's just so many of them, and then that brings the farmers in. When we go, and I'm sure you'll be talking to schools, but it's unfortunate sometimes that kids think food comes from a grocery store, you know, and we really got to make that connection to, I mean, we're in this, we're feeding, obviously feeding the Midwest, we're feeding the whole world in some of these places.
Angela and I went and saw Green and Gold.
I didn't see that yet,
Oh my God, it was a great movie.
I hear that,
And went to the movie theater and they have that, I don't know if you've been in those, the movie theater lately, I hadn't, but. You could like sit back in the seats.
Lounge things,
like
that's awesome, lounges, right?
You can that movie was them? Amazing. It was filmed in Door County,
right.
But you know about small farms and it was great. I would encourage people to check that out. Yeah. I was very proud of.
We had the producers, those brothers, on here on the show.
Yeah.
So anyway, they were all in on it, and they had some connections.
And exactly the main actor is from Coach. I forget his name, but he was great. Yeah. What a great way to. It was just a great reflection of what it is, how difficult it is to be a small farm. Yeah.
You've introduced, I said, I get your newsletter, how do we subscribe to the newsletter?
You subscribe on my official house page, which is weed.house.gov.
Okay.
So W-I-E-D, it's a German name after weed.house.gov, and it'll pop up, and would love it if people subscribe to our newsletter, at least, you know, see what we're doing, see what's going on. And then also what's really important for me is we have a very, very good team in our district office. I've always been good at picking really good talent.
Oh, yeah.
And I have people that are very smart, very capable. If you need help with federal agencies at all, please give us a call. Give us an email, whether that's veterans issues. We're constantly helping people, veterans, with the VA system. But again, it could be you have an issue with the IRS or any federal agency. We are here to help you. We are really a customer service driven district office. And I'm very proud of my team. So Just so people know that they should reach out if they need help.
So you not only have the experience, but you have the wherewithal that you're in the retail business. You run it with your gas stations and you have a great office. You got a great staff. I mean, I was there for your swearing in, and thanks for the invite. That was just, that was great. And I can't let you go without complimenting your parents again.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where it all started. I've so fortunate.
Unbelievable.
You know, it really does come to family, and it's so important to have a good family unit. I have the best parents. My mom and dad are, they just taught me so much.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always easy, and I saw how hard it was, you know, to be parents and to run a small business. They had a little snowmobile shop, and then they got into the convenience store business. But
is that awesome?
I owe everything to my parents, no question about it.
Yeah, thanks for taking all that knowledge and experience and taking it to D.C. on our
behalf. My goal is to make my mother proud every single day.
I think you've reached that. I just talked to her, so she's very happy. Hey, thank you for coming in, Congressman. You're always welcome here on Lean Local. We're going to be following you, and we're very, very fortunate, and thanks for what you're doing, but thanks for what you're going to do.
Well, thanks for all you've done, and thanks for all you do, and looking forward to coming back.
All right, sounds good.
Appreciate
thanks
you.
For joining us, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.